Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
Well, this morning we're shifting our focus into really what Jesus has in mind for the church all the time, but especially in what I call the Christmas season. I mean, I think of it this way. It's the season that God gave His best, and somehow He wants to reflect that to the world through us. Recognize everything God's doing now happens through people who will listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the presence of God in the earth. The Holy Spirit is the personality of the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the power of God to do things for the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit's bigger than we are, and He likes to ask us to do things that are more like He is than how we think we are. That means He's thinking bigger. He's thinking more. He's thinking better. He's thinking of things that are more supernatural. Whether you know it or not, when you come into the kingdom of God by asking Jesus to be your Savior, supernatural life comes in with Him. That means the ability to trust Him to do things you wouldn't and couldn't do without Him. Trust is up to us. And trust, when we start trusting the Lord, our faith grows and we just decide, I am going to do this for the Master. So today as we look to the Word, I want to start with Proverbs 4:18 in the Old Testament because it's one of the verses that I love. It speaks to my life. I believe it'll speak to your life. And then we're going to look to words of Jesus in the New Testament because we're celebrating Jesus' birthday. If we just give pause to listen out in the world kind of forgets what day it really is. And the world has now put all kinds of names and brands out there, but I'm going to return to the source. There is not Christmas without Christ, and Christ is the anointed name for Jesus. It means His power at work in the church, His power at work in the earth, His power to save, His power to redeem and restore our life and to take us out of destruction into His marvelous light, and that light increases. When we expect increase in our life for God to bless us, we have to recognize where it comes from. Whenever you want the blessing of God to grow in your life, it comes by increasing your fellowship with the light. Well, light can be a difficult place. Light can be a wonderful place. Depends what you're wanting to do. If I want to shave in the morning, the more light, the better I'm going to look. I've learned that, and I won't miss a patch, you know. But if I'm wanting to not scrutinize the fine lines in my face and those that aren't so fine, I'll back off a little bit of light, and they call that soft light. So, you know, light is engineered. Well, understand with God, you get what you ask for. And His Word has a way of transforming us. It's not a light that only magnifies to show flaws. It might reveal imperfection in us. It might show us an area that we don't look too much like Jesus at the moment. But if we'll look a little deeper into the mirror, we'll see something that is down in the glass called God's Word. And when we begin to see God's Word as we're looking in that mirror, we don't look so bad because we're looking more like Jesus. I want to encourage you, and what I know in the world is also the most depressing time of the year for many people. Look to what the Word says about you. Look even to the parts that you know people wouldn't say about you, but God says about you. That gives us hope. That encourages us. So every so often you need some therapy. It isn't self-therapy. It's what God's Word does for us to build us up. He's one that likes to build us up. Now His Word this morning is going to do a lot of things. It's going to build you up where you need to be built up, and God's Word exposes things that need to be exposed, but it illuminates the future. Think of the star that shone on the manger where Jesus lay to direct the wise men in. God's Word always does the same thing. It will draw you as a wise person to come closer to Jesus. That's what always should happen when we come together. That should always happen. So if you look for Jesus in that way, you're going to be drawn closer to Him. It doesn't really matter what exactly is taught from the Word. As long as it's God's Word, it'll bring you closer to Jesus. Because remember, the Scripture is the written form of the person Jesus Christ. So Proverbs 4:18 says, "But the path of the just," or those that are justified by Jesus, "is as the shining light. It's ever increasing more and more unto the perfect day." Now there's some ingredients here. There's some things coming together. The light of God is triggering the love of God. God never shines His word on something without loving us. Even when it shines into our heart and we think, "Oh, I need to deal with that." That's His love saying, "Deal with this and you're going to be better off." That's missing in some teaching today, but I want to bring it in, because God, when He does expose something, is wanting us to respond to His love. He's not wanting us to respond to shame. He's wanting us to respond to His love, knowing that when we respond to Him, He's going to make the ugly beautiful. He has the ability to do that in anything and everything. But these ingredients, light and love, are what lead to that more abundant life. We can't experience that without asking Him to shed some light on things for us. So this morning, as we look at some character of God's love and what it should be doing in us, I want you to kind of get caught up with what God wants to do through you in this season. Because this should be the time of year that we focus a lot on loving people well and what's in Jesus' heart for loving people. It's probably different than you think. Many times in our society today, we adopt the world's version of love, and we look in our own house or to the relationships closest to us, or if we're even more like the world, we look at who's loving us and we love them back. God's word is much more invasive than that. His love really is more expressed by what are we doing outside of our own house? What are we doing so intentionally that we have to look around and ask the Lord, "Show me what to do that will be meaningful to you." And, you know, kids that are expecting presents don't always like a message like this, and I give one kind of like this every year. Look outside the house. We teach our families how to love the way God does by being invasive and pervasive with that love. We look outside the house. We look where somebody else might not be looking. So when we talk about outreach a little bit, we're talking about looking beyond our own house. Jesus commanded love in the family, in the house of God. But He also commanded love to go out. And it isn't God's love unless it's doing both at the same time. Now, John 13, we find Jesus ministering here, and He's talking about this. And we're going to pull a lot from John 13 today. Predominantly, we'll be there in 13 and 14. Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father. He knew His time was limited. And it says that Jesus, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. Notice the phrase, "He loved His own." Know that Jesus spends time loving His own, and He expects His own to spend time loving everybody. Jesus' focus is on you when you choose to love Him. I want you to know that. The Father sent Jesus because the Father so loved the world, He sent Jesus as a sacrifice. But Jesus' eye, His heart, is on you because you have responded to His love. And He reciprocates that again and again. But Jesus' love working in you will cause you to become outward with it. Don't bottle up the love of God just for what goes on in the family or at your work or even here in the church. Recognize that now the Father's love is shown because Jesus is living in you. His love for the world is going to be expressed through you. Jesus is busy loving you now. And He will love through you now if you let Him. Jesus waits to be introduced in the way that we love people. It's a surefire way to get somebody's attention when you do. You love them in an expression that's not expected. It isn't saying Merry Christmas to somebody. It's taking a little bit more time. It's becoming a little more intentional. Letting God point out to you who Jesus wants to love through you. I want you to understand something. God needs somebody to love through. And that's why Jesus lives in us now. It's not just to get us to heaven. That's actually a benefit of what He did on the cross. God's plan for us now is that we love people well now, knowing we're going to heaven. Yes. And helping them get to know the same thing. and it's easier than we're making it. Now, he said he loved them unto the end. A quality of God's love is it doesn't give up. God's love doesn't give up on anybody when it says to the end. He has no abandonment. He has no betrayal. He has no exhaustion in his love for us, so much so that it says he'll live in us and abide in us, and he'll never leave us or forsake us. I want you to think about who God may have put in your life that seems to have stepped aside, and make sure that you are not abandoning God's love for them, even though they may have abandoned you. That's a tough spot. That's a spot that requires the love of God to work. Here's how you know it's God's love and not just natural, earthly kind of love. God's love is supernatural. It's seeking out to love where love may not have been shown first. That's what Jesus did in coming for us. He came because the Father so loved us first that he wanted to say, "Here I am, will you love me?" Our lives have to show just like that. I want you to think this morning about invasive love and take responsibility for that kind of love, and not give up because somebody seems to have separated themselves from you. Christmas should be a restoring season. It should be an intentional season. Why am I saying it? Because the gospel will be preached through those who believe it. And it's not difficult to love. Recognize it's God's nature. If Jesus lives in your heart, you've got it in you because you've got him in you. Now, we're to love the way Jesus loves. And this is foundational. Then we're going to make 3 points. None of these things are the points yet. We're just laying a foundation. And the foundation is to get us in the right frame of thinking so we can understand a spiritual truth. This is from 1 John 4:17, and I'm using this as a Wednesday night series launcher, but it says, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. It doesn't say, so are we supposed to be. It says, this is how we are in this world. Well, you know, one of the things I like to remind myself every so often is, he is love. I have to step back and say, okay, if he is, so am I in this world. It means I've got to think to be intentional about that. Jesus was very intentional going to the cross, which was his ultimate sacrifice and picture of love. Sometimes love requires us to be like Jesus in that and say, I'm going to hang this up over here and let it go so resurrection life can come up over here. And we're the one to go undo the ill effects of something in the past. The body of Christ to be healthier for it. When Jesus was ministering first to his own, he wanted, I want this today to be like an injection of love serum into your heart, into your life. Not natural love, not the kind that says, I need to shop for my shopping list, here's my 25 people. But the kind that doesn't even think about that at first, but says, God, what is it you want to do that I won't pick up on my own? What is it you want to say? Now, John 13:34, as we go back to John 13, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. He made it very conditional that it's his kind of love. It's not our kind of love. I want you to understand when you're having gifts at home, I'm happy for that. We do that at our house too. But there's something more important than the exchange that goes on there, and the joy that is experienced there is, what happened intentionally that is more like Jesus did it? Jesus didn't die only for the disciples. He didn't die only for his family members. He died for those that didn't have a clue. Love is that intentional. Now, looking at John 14:15, Jesus said there, if, and that's a big word, I think that's one of the biggest words in the Bible, if, and when you see your notes for today, it's in red and in bold and underlined, because it's the biggest word for today. Love is not the biggest word, if is the biggest word. Because Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So Jesus measures our love through how we love others. Jesus doesn't measure our love in how we worship him, though he enjoys that. That's fellowship. And for him, that's kind of like what you do at home around the table when you're fellowshipping. You get into conversation and you get caught up in each other's life. And there's a moment of joy. There's some things he might speak to you to deal with or to do for him. But there's fellowship there. This goes beyond fellowship. This goes beyond looking around and saying, what can I do? What do I see that needs to be done for the master? Who do I see that I can impact for the kingdom? It's loving the way he loves, which is first unselfish. It's not attached to me at all. You may not know it, but likely the people in your own house, when they're around you, want to receive somewhat selfishly from your love because you have that relationship with them. That's supposed to happen. It's okay to have a little selfish love. I mean, when I'm with mom and dad and other people barge in, I want them to barge out. Well, that's my mom and dad, and I want to be intentional with them. Why, that's special, and that's a little different, and there is an earthly love that should be satisfied, that's healthy. But that isn't the kind Jesus is saying if about here. He's talking about the kind that motivated him to go to the cross. He's talking about the kind that motivated his heavenly Father to send him in the first place, to lay down his glory, to lay down his rule and reign in heaven, to give it all up to come here for mugs like us. That's the kind of love that doesn't seem like it makes a bit of sense. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Now, love denied has betrayal in it. Love denied has separation in it and abandonment in it. God's love can fix that. Natural love probably cannot. So I want you to think about how the love of God can heal where there's a miracle needed. Because we live in a society that is not even good at giving second chances. If you've ever been unfriended on Facebook, and maybe you got friended back and then unfriended again, and it happened 3 or 4 times, you wonder, what is up with this? And you have no idea how something you might have said to somebody and who it was and what you said and when you said it that caused somebody to unfriend you, and you don't have the courage to ask, what is that? That's people not understanding anything about the love of God, because the love of God never gives up. It doesn't abandon anybody. So when that happens, what does it take to fix it? It takes supernatural love to fix abandonment. To fix the attitude that we get when maybe somebody's done you wrong. Maybe 3 people have done you wrong. Maybe it feels like nobody loves you. That's the kind of love Jesus is talking about when he says, if. I challenge you to think about who might be the meanest person that you know. And then find a way for Jesus to love them through you, not expecting. You may not get anything back but a grouchy slammed door or whatever, or somebody commenting. That's the kind of if he's talking about. That's impactful. And you know what? It takes something supernatural that comes up from the inside. Now to begin our points, Jesus' love comes with supernatural help. He doesn't put if out there without having a reason. If means what Jesus is really saying is you will not be able to keep these commandments without the helper. You will not be able to love Jesus' way without the Holy Spirit helping you. Because it takes the holy part of that spirit to get your nerve up. It takes the holy part of that spirit to say, I'm going to go back into a failed situation and I'm going to make it right and find out what 10 people unfriended you in the last couple of months and send hearts to them anyway. And then make them wonder, what's up with this? One stirs people to question who Jesus is. The other just keeps on going without him. You never want to leave anybody behind. John 14, beginning in verse 16, Jesus was talking about this, the kind of supernatural help we would need. I know that I've loved people well when it didn't come from my own little thinking or my own little circle of people. It might be a need that I heard about, but it's more likely going to be somebody that I bump into that's had a rough season or a rough time. You might find somebody to intentionally love by looking in the newspaper at who lost a spouse or who lost mom and dad this year, who suffered a tragedy. And it might be as simple as showing up unannounced with something to give them, to bless them. People like to eat. And people more and more go out to eat. So when you bring something good that's homemade, people like that. Why? That took a little extra something. You might go with a card that you might leave if nobody answers the door. They might have those little security things. Say, I don't know that person. They look freaky. And they may not come to the door. So you write a little note. Sorry I missed you. Been praying for your loss this year. God bless you. Sign your name. That's all you got to do. And it makes a huge difference. I won't go into personal stories, but there are a number. My favorite kind of ministry looks like that. Because it does something in the inside of a person that says, I'm going to let more of Jesus in. It says somebody cares. When you don't know the Lord Jesus, the best thing you've got, the next best thing is you've got a person who cares. Well, we ought to be that for everybody, but we ought to do it better than anybody. Now, I am sending you the Holy Spirit of truth. Jesus was speaking here. And he said, whom the world cannot receive. In other words, they can't get it without having a dealer. Did you know you're the Holy Spirit's dealer? They can't get it. They can't understand the Holy Spirit of God without him using a person. They can't relate to a spirit, the Spirit of God, if they're not spiritually alive. But they can relate to what the Spirit of God does and what he says when it comes through a person. So your greatest witness is not something difficult. It's something easy. Holy Spirit, show me how to love them. Show me a way to make a difference. And most of the time, it has to do with the doing more than the saying. I liked that when I started to study what ministry really looked like when I was a young person, because I was not good at saying much of anything. I hated to be in front of people. I did not want to be a public speaker in any way. So I became a quiet doer. I want to encourage you, the greatest anointing in your life is to quietly do the love of God. And watch how Jesus responds to you in loving you back and keeping you built up. I hear today many people wanting to be built up, wanting to be encouraged and longing for that. And we do some of that for one another, but we're just people. The Spirit of God is who gives us the supernatural help to really build somebody up and encourage them. And it sometimes happens in the things that we question. We think, well, should I really do this? They look pumped and excited all the time. I can tell you, few people break through assumptions. Well, I experience it my own self where, you know, it's my job, it's my role, and it's the anointing in my life when I get before you to be pumped and excited. And I put a lot into the study of the word to bring it from God's heart to you more than my heart. But there are moments when you pour out that you need something to pour back in, and the pouring back in is a little slower than the pouring out. And I've noticed a few folks just every so often, Pastor, and they'll send me a little email praying for you this way, or I wanted to tell you this. I know what that does for me, and I feel like Jesus is good to me. But I know what that does for me to hear that, so I know what it really has to do for somebody that's questioning, God, where are you? It's impactful. It's monumental. And sometimes we take those things and say, Jesus, this was a hug from you. Thank you. Because it's bigger than the person who sent it. I want you to know God's supernatural help happens like that, and it has to happen through a person. It happens through you. He said, whom the world cannot receive, because it doesn't see him, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. In other words, think of it this way. He's hovering over you, wanting to get down inside of you to motivate you to do something. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is all the time wanting to do something that expresses Jesus' love. It's on his mind all the time. It's more on his mind than showing you things to come. It's more on his mind than showing you things in the past. It's more on his mind even than teaching you everything about God's word, because his word is Jesus, and Jesus is the love of God expressed too. So he's all about taking the time to let him love. I want you to think of it that way. If you're thinking, I got to get better at this, just give him room. Give the Holy Spirit room. I mean, He will make you more like Him and you'll be glad of it. Now, He dwells with you and He shall be in you. And then He said, and I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. This is a picture of what He mostly wants to do when He's living through us. He wants to comfort. He wants to look for a situation that is not all right. He wants to address it. Sometimes He addresses that without telling you the situation. Sometimes He addresses it and just says, God wants to bless you. And a person chooses to believe it and they get something from the Lord. Did you know that you get to be a dealer of that? That's what it means to be a dealer of love. You're working to stir faith. Now, if they don't know Jesus, they're not going to get it. They're going to be like, when is it they want to bless me? What are they talking about? You know, and they look, see, she's wearing a cross. Oh, no wonder she's saying that. But they make a connection to the cross. What do? We begin to be a dealer. We're not selling something. We're giving it. We're giving what really is the God commodity, which is the God expression, which is the God power, which is His Spirit. We're giving it by doing something so unexpected that it is as impactful as if we were being raised from the dead like Jesus was. Because that's what happens in a person. So impactful that we're saying, Jesus, I've become a living sacrifice. I'm glad I don't have to go to the cross, but I am going to come out of the grave today. I'm going to be in resurrection power today. You went to the cross so I can be in resurrection power. That means something supernatural is going to happen through me today. Now, Jesus comforts through us, and that's the moving of His Holy Spirit. If I want to really be led of the Holy Spirit to be used of God, I get around somebody, just listen a little bit. Think, how can I add some comfort? Best friend moving away. Debbie needs comfort. Don't she? See, Why? This is rocking her world because she's got a little circle of friends here and they like watch out for each other, got each other's back, making sure each other's doing the word, not getting carried away with anything, right? She's avoiding eye contact. But the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit taps into something and He knows. And what will He do? I have to trust the Holy Spirit to impart what's needed. But He uses a vessel. He uses a person. And usually we think, well, who am I to be used of God? You're who He picked. You're His handpicked person. He's just waiting for you to answer the if and say, I will do that. And then something changes. So what am I praying? God, fill the void that's made. As she goes to be more a blessing to the family, God, bring in fellowship. Raise up a new work Bible study. I mean, you might be a teacher after all. See, she kind of laughed, but I can just tell you, that came from Jesus. Why? He spoke that to me when I walked over there. Why? When we begin to ask the Lord, what does He want to say? He'll give us a little something. And all it is a seed of His love. I mean, we're not responsible for what it becomes. I'm not going to lord it over Debbie. Now, you got to teach a Bible study. But I know the Holy Spirit saying she's very capable and able. And she could do that. And God may want to. He may want to. I'll leave it up to her. Because I promised not to harass you, didn't I? She's going to remember that part. Boy, I like it when the Lord sees the potential in us and He's loving it out of us. That's how we do it. Now, He comforts through us. And I want to tell you, many people are praying for the moving of the Holy Spirit. I just revealed to you how He moves. It is not something that we wait and expect some lightning bolt from heaven or some special anointing or some special God speak to me in my ear so I hear you and say it's God or show up at the foot of my bed. No, He's just saying if we choose to love, He'll be faithful and just to do it through us. And it's an easy thing. And honestly, it's more about the listening than the saying. It's more about establishing eye contact. I've learned something about the age that we're in, the digital age, and how everybody communicates over their phones and stuff. Wonderful, great. I'm not going to down it. But I've learned something. Love doesn't come through the screen as good as eyes do to eyes. There's something about that. There's something about being with the person that I'll say it this way. If I go over here, I'm not gonna mess with you today. I'll mess with Mark enough, but I'm gonna mess with you guys. Is that all right? Oh, he said okay, but he said it real soft. So I have to mess kind of. There's something about eye contact that I begin to pick up on what God's heart is in the situation. How he wants to stir faith. How he wants healing to come in your body. Because I know that about you because you've shared it. But as soon as I sit down, it comes to greater light. It's like the Holy Spirit making that more real than ever to me. And how important it is. How he wants the love of God to be so stirred. And there's something about your home that's full of the love of God. You're very intentional when anybody comes in that they feel like the king and queen of the earth. Well, as you minister that, the Lord ministers to you, and sense of well-being is restored where that gets undermined by pain and problems. But the well-being of the Lord Jesus be upon you. See, we got eye contact, and I can't help but touch this man because he's full of the love of God. It's a family that stands for the love of God. I'd say it's been a theme for your family to love people the way Jesus does. Now, because of that, the Lord Jesus would laud on them his love. To have an expectation for a love to have its perfect work in the house of perfect work. I'm talking you back into it. All right. To let love have its perfect work. Does that mean anything? No, that just means that life itself, if we don't have enough love ministering to us, life itself takes a toll, wears us out. Love restores us to hope and thanksgiving and good things. Now, Jesus comforts through us. If you ask them what just happened, the Holy Spirit comforted them. I loved them, but he comforted them. Why? It was really Jesus doing the whole thing. But as I express his love, the Holy Spirit does something that I can't do. I can't fix whatever's needed. I can't even fully understand and comprehend what it is the Holy Spirit wanted to do in that. But I'm telling you, it's as easy as going and sitting your little self down by somebody and letting something come from the inside of you that comes from the heart of God. And it changes even how a person feels. I guarantee you right now they're feeling love. Especially Danny, that was going to get on him and then get on everybody in the family. Why? That's the Lord said that's family anointing. To love. Now, love's pretty inclusive. There's all kind of good things in love. Now, Jesus' love, secondly, gives us supernatural security. I want you to understand that the angels of heaven protect you in your love pursuits that are for the kingdom. They guard it. Now, Jesus said in verses 19 and 20, same passage from John 14. We're not putting together weird little pieces of scripture to make up a story here. We're just saying what Jesus said about it. Now, if we serve the Lord Jesus and he's our Lord, we pay close attention to what he said. And he said the Holy Spirit would be our helper, and it would end up being a comfort when we love people. Secondly, he said he gives us supernatural security. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, but you see me. I want you to understand that's for now as much as it was then. The world doesn't see him, but we do. That means the world can't see him unless we make him known. Unless we do these little simple things I'm talking about. I remember in the old days, we used to get a lot of Christmas cards. When we moved here, it was still the old days, okay? 15, 16 years ago. Why? Everybody was still doing Christmas cards. It sort of started changing about then, but you get Christmas cards, and some people had so many to send out, it just said love and a name. But and others, it was a business, and they would say, thank you for your business. And I think, oh, I wonder why they're sending me a card. We must have spent a lot of money there. How much did we really spend there? You know, and I wonder why. It was just interesting they would send a card. But then there were others that had a sentence or two or a page or two, occasionally a small book, of an expression of something that had gone unsaid. I learned how I respond to those things is the more that's said, the more I leave that card propped up. And I don't have to read it again and again. I just see it and I remember what's in it. You want to be like that greeting card. People see you and they remember what's in you because of what you did take the time to say. And that's the heart of Jesus now. He said, yet a little while, the world sees me no more, but you see me because I live, you shall live also. In other words, when he rose again, he put his love in us, and that's where it resides. That's where it is. He expects us to express who he is. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He's telling them about his resurrection, and they're going to know it's true. They didn't understand it at the time, but they're going to know it's true. That we are integrated with Jesus. You're not just a dealer of his love. He, the owner, lives in you. Think of it this way. If it was the tractor dealer, should we talk John Deere or should we talk something else? John Deere. It's one thing to roll down toward Melvin and go to Aaron's Brothers, or they call it a new name now, AHW. Aaron's was easier. But AHW. You roll down there, one of the biggest John Deere dealerships in the world. A lot of volume. Well, we're in the middle of big farm district, one of the biggest in the world. Should be there. Think of the joy of doing business with a big dealer. Then think of who owns this. In the world that we live in, ownership's become obscure because a lot of people own things. It's owned by stockholders. In the kingdom of God, there's one owner, the Heavenly Father. And he gave all authority to Jesus the Son. And Jesus said, I'm putting it on all my kids. The owner is who you represent. And you are your own individual dealership of God's love. You are a purveyor, and you can be the best in the world if you want to be, or you can be among the least. God doesn't govern and say, oh, Tara, you know, she's real outgoing. She, you know, she ministers love a lot. She's just constantly thinking of ways to minister to somebody. She's got extra love. No, she just chooses to pour more out. She decides, Lord Jesus, give me somebody. And as a result of somebody, there's more somebodies and there's more somebodies. And pretty soon around us, there's a love gathering. You know what the Bible calls that? A love feast. When we're obeying Jesus, we have close fellowship around us, and people want to be with us just because we know how to love them. See, I come over here because every week these guys find a way to express love. Why? I think that they've tapped into, Pastor needs this. Why? I thrive on it. Don't you thrive on it back? Yeah, see? Why? We're kind of made to want to have that connection around us. So we might work and work and work and remodel a house and set up a farmstead and put our family in there and get everything going. We really want people who love us around us. Our family, of course, absolutely. But then it's nice to add to that. So we make the room a little bigger. We tear a wall out and bump it out. Love is like a room in your heart that God wants to fill. And you can knock the walls out if you want to. I want to tell you the best way to refurb yourself, knock a wall out and then decide what to build. See, sometimes we decide what to build, and then we very carefully, I mean, isn't that true? You very carefully cut away a little wall. Well, kind of the way the Holy Spirit does, he says, let's bring in the bulldozer. And we think we're just going to take a little saw and cut a little door to the next room. He says, let's knock out this whole side of the house, and let's expand. Remember, you're the house of God. If he's going to knock out the walls in any room, it's going to be the love room. Well, it's the most important place because it's where he lives. Well, let's finish this thing up. Jesus lives today by loving through us. We decide how much. Now, Jesus promised a reward for very intentional love as we close today. In verse 21, just right, following right in line, verses right in a row. He that receives my commandments and keeps them, receives and keeps. You can't receive without hearing it. You receive by hearing what the Bible says instead of what people say. He that receives my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. I have the same answer for anybody that says they want to see and know Jesus intimately. Love people well and he will show up for you. He promised it. This isn't something that pastors are making up to like seal the deal today. And pastor's saying, no. Jesus said, if we do it, he will manifest himself. Think about what Jesus is doing when he manifests. Jesus manifests in love. Jesus manifests in your life in love. Love has a lot of facets. We start measuring God's love because of natural love and we limit it. He doesn't have any limits. He doesn't have a boundary to stop except the one that we create by saying, God, I'm not going to love. Well, then we start experiencing some withdrawal. Now, we express our love for Jesus in loving people. He says, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. How do we love him? We love people, where we started out today. That's how we love God with all of our heart. I want to give you an answer to something that I've learned. Those two commandments are one commandment, but really in loving people, God's way is how we're loving God the way he wants it. The same way when he sent Jesus, Jesus had to agree to love us enough to save us. We have to have the same kind of love. And that makes him show up. I somewhat get bothered when people have to pray, oh, I need God in my situation. And they want to pray him in. It's not scriptural. We pray his word so that his word will be done, and it breaks the power of the devil. We have authority to do that. But you want to see Jesus revealed in your life? Do what he put us here to do. And he will chase you, come on the scene with you. He will invade your workplace. He will make his presence known. He'll cause you to know that you're blessed and begin to experience it. Now, we express our love in loving people. Things that are coming up this season as we close, I want to talk about a little bit. Christmas baskets are coming up. Before we do that, I've got an inreach that I want to do. The Bible challenges us as a church to watch out for widows and orphans. I'd like to be able to do something about that. So if you want to be a part of that, come talk to me. We're just going to identify what can we do about that. And first, that's an inreach. Jesus first loved his own. I want you to see that. It's not wrong to want to do something within the house. We're not being motivated by need. We're going to be motivated by, Lord Jesus, who has talked to you about something they need? Did you know sometimes we're meant to bless somebody that doesn't look like they need it? Need has nothing to do with it. Faith in the Lord Jesus has everything to do with it when we're looking in-house. So we say, all right, Lord, who has put themselves in your trust and how do you want to bless them? That's one thing we're going to do. Another thing that we're going to do is the Christmas baskets. That's in-house and out-of-house. Some folks in our own, we look first at who in our own fellowship can be blessed by getting this. We give what's typically around $100 worth of benefit, costs us about $25 because much of it's donated by businesses. You'll see it in the newspaper when we get done. We publish it every year. This many baskets went out, and here's who helped Living Word do this. And Robert's Area Food Pantry, and the Lutherans, and the Methodists, and the Catholics, and everybody else that became a part. Why do we do that? Because that's in reach and outreach. We want to do that for everybody. I don't want anybody to do without Christmas dinner that wants some. But rather than take everybody out to eat, we let them cook at home. You get a lot more for your money doing it that way, if you didn't know. A lot more. Now, that's another thing we do. Another thing that we're going to be doing is partnering with parents in Guatemala for school kids that are there. At least 25 kids, and tuition is about $130. We want to partner with parents and provide half for at least 25 kids. And we may do more than that, but we want to do at least that. Their school year starts in January. So that's all that's coming down here real quick. Other things that we want to do is the Christmas caroling in Roberts. Why? We want to be more intentional toward the town that we're in and say, Lord Jesus, help us do something to brighten people's lives here. Show us a way to love people. And here's what I have in mind. Cale is in children's church, I guess. But Cale came to me weeks ago and he said, Pastor, I have this in my heart. He didn't know Lucinda and I have talked about that several times in the past. Recently, I'd been thinking, I wonder what can we do in Roberts? Now, the Holy Spirit spoke to a child whose heart is really to serve the Lord Jesus. If you don't know Cale, he's the one waving with the white glove this morning. I liked the white glove, a little touch there. It's kind of special. But that kind of spoke of what's in his heart. He wants everybody to know about Jesus. He has a little meeting that he does at church called Kidsciples, a takeoff on disciples. Why does he do that? He wants everybody to do like he's doing and tell everybody about Jesus. He wants everybody to go to heaven, nobody to go to hell, and everybody to be happy thereafter. What a wonderful vision. How easy that is to do ministry. So he came and he said, "Pastor, I have this idea and maybe we could do," and he's real sweet and real respectful. And I said, "We want to do that. That's good. Talk to mom and dad, set a date, come back, do mom and dad know?" "Yes, mom and dad know." I said, "Have you set a date?" "No, can we do?" "Yes, we can do this. But not only do we want to give, you know, cocoa and cookies here for those that go out singing, it'd be nice to leave a goodie bag everywhere we go." Why? There's something nice in the goodies in the bag. I mean, I like goodie bags, but there's something more even when the bag is empty. We have a phenomenon at our house that we call recycling the gift bags. Maybe you don't do that, and some people throw them away and think it's not dignified, but I think it's wonderful. Because I can, a year later, get in the drawer where those used gift bags are, and if you're good at this, you never write on the little tag on the gift bag, okay? You know that. You have learned that. I was trained never to do that, okay? Trained me. Why? These can be reused, and they can be expensive. So I've learned that we do that. And we've all kind of adopted this in our culture, this thing of doing it right so it can be reused, because it bothers us to pay $3 for the bag. So we think somebody else can use this. But a wonderful thing happens when all the goodies are gone and the bag goes in a drawer. The container counted for something. I want you to understand, when you are loving people Jesus' way, the next time they see you, it might be a year later, but they remember what came out of the container the last time they encountered you. And they're going to get a little closer this time to see what's going to come out this time. It's kind of like when I open, I can pretty much tell you, this bag had such and such in it from so and so and so. And it was good and it was wonderful and it was sweet and it was pretty and it was practical. Whatever it was, I will tend to remember. God designed us to be like that. He not only wants to get the credit because it's His love, He wants you to enjoy a benefit of a growing relationship and somebody that says, "There's good stuff in this guy. I think I'm going to stick around him a little bit and see what I might squeeze out." And they might ask you 3 or 4 times, "How are things going for you, Glenn? Or is it Tony now?" Why? I know that his real name's Tony Glenn. You may not have known that, but that's right, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
See, I might press on him a little bit to see what can I get to come. Why? Last time I was around there, goodies came out. Understand how easy it is to love Jesus. Well, I want you to stand. We're going to open the altar for those today that desire prayer for anything. You want to come to Jesus. You've decided, "I want to know this loving Jesus." You come to the altar. We'll pray with you. He will come to live in your heart. Scripture says it's so easy. When we want to receive Jesus, we first believe that He is, and we ask Him to come into our heart, and we confess Him as Savior and Lord. When we do that, He comes in. He looks for every reason to get in there. Why? He's always going to benefit us. So if you don't know Jesus today, you want to make Him Lord and Savior of your life. Secondly, if there's anything that you have need, you feel like you're one of those persons missing out on the love of God, come to the altar today. The elders are going to pray with you. The Bible says that we're to call for the elders of the church, especially if we are sick or missing out on something. We're not to ask them to give something to us. We're asking them to pray for us, that God be the giver. So you don't want to become dependent on other people. You want Jesus to love you. You want to break through the need to always have people and let you get the direct benefit from the owner Himself. Why? There's nothing like getting a direct shot of God's love into your heart. If you will with me in the congregation, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You today for Jesus being stirred in our hearts to love people well, Father, to do the things that You call us to do, to let everybody know who Jesus is. Father, today as I pray, I ask that You hear the heart of every person here that desires and needs prayer. And as they come to the altar, they are saying, "I'm calling for the elders of the church to pray for me and anoint me with oil." And as they pray for me and speak the word of God over me, I'm going to receive from heaven what I need from my Heavenly Father. And things will be better. Things will turn around. Things will definitely begin to bloom and blossom in my life and produce good fruit. Father, thank You for the love that You have put in us, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of His love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962, or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.